Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. No, I am not inside of a bathroom, as Hartley just so eloquently asked me earlier. I am actually at a WeWork, traveling right now, so wanted to be able to at least get you guys some episodes. Sorry if the audio is a little funky. I will do my best to fix as much as I can in post-production. But Hartley, good afternoon. How is the weather?
Well, as I'm sure you've been waiting with bated breath to hear my weather update.
Can I guess?
I'm sorry to report it's basically the same as last week.
Yeah, hot.
Yes.
So I'm in New York City and it is windy, like very windy. There's going to be a storm, I'm guessing. I think they went through some pretty bad floods. Like the hotel that I'm at has two elevators down because it flooded. And then there's like a flood watch for today. So hopefully I don't get flooded inside my hotel earlier, but or later. Yeah, so that's what I've got going on. And now, you know, we wait with bated breath for why I'm here. Actually, I'm here for Samsung. I can say that because when the podcast goes out, it'll already have happened. And we'll save my thoughts on everything though for another time. But the one thing we do need to talk about is OpenAI and Apple and that whole saga. And apparently OpenAI is going to be launching some hardware soon. And whether or not that was with the help of some former Apple employees and some trade secrets is one thing. But what do you want to start with first? Do you want to just brush up on the lawsuit real quick, or do you want to go through these devices?
So definitely it's worth mentioning the lawsuit. So Apple and OpenAI have had a bit of a tumultuous relationship, you could say. They did announce a partnership back in, was it 2024? At WWDC, when we got that Siri integration with ChatGPT directly. But by all accounts, OpenAI was not very happy about the way that transpired, because effectively they believe that Apple did not sufficiently market that feature. So they did not see a good return on that deal. And there were rumors months ago of OpenAI effectively considering suing Apple over that. What has actually happened is Apple suing OpenAI, because OpenAI has gained an enormous number of employees from Apple. I think it's something like 400 employees who were all working on various projects for Apple, but a lot of them are working on hardware and design. And one of these, although they are not a direct employee, is Johnny Ive, who was, of course, Apple's former chief designer and is responsible for so many of the designs of the devices that we've appreciated over the years. So there is definitely a lot of intelligence that Apple had in years gone by that OpenAI now has at its disposal. But what Apple is accusing OpenAI of is going further than that and actively encouraging Apple employees who are in the transition and moving over to come and work for their company of actually being trained to bring with them information that belonged to Apple. And there are some specific senior individuals that are accused of having brought over quite high-level information and accessing information that would be very valuable to OpenAI. So one thing that is included is Apple's method of finishing metal and finishing aluminium, which is obviously such an integral part of our experience of Apple devices. Of course, that would be very valuable for another company to try and fully understand. And of course, it is natural for any employee moving from one company to another to take their skill set with them. So that is where it's a little bit of a blurred line. But what Apple is specifically alleging is that actual information that was exclusively Apple's has been brought over, including actual written files and documents that should not have been shared. And this has escalated. Apple is sending letters to these former employees, and the lawsuit really seems to be escalating. And this is all happening in the background of what we'll talk about today, which is these hardware devices, which are rumored to directly compete with Apple. I mean, it's no secret in the industry that OpenAI is growing and that it is its long-term goal is effectively to become a direct competitor to Apple.
Yeah, let's jump. That's a great, by the way, update on everything that's going on. I do want to add that OpenAI has made it clear that they have no interest in anyone's trade secrets, which I find as a hilarious statement. You have zero interest in finding out what Apple and other competitors will be doing. I don't know if I believe that, but we'll take their word for it. But first up is apparently the smart speaker that's going to be happening in early 2027. Now, it doesn't have a screen on it, correct? More so like a HomePod mini, but with ChatGPT as like your AI companion.
Correct. So I imagine that this will be comparable to, what is it called? The Sonos Roam? Is that the portable speaker from Sonos? I have one. I actually just can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, there's the Roam. I think they just came out with the Roam 2. And then there's a couple other portable ones, but you're talking about the small, like, cylindrical one.
I think they sell some that do have a voice assistant built in and some that don't. I'm imagining it just being kind of like that with a built-in voice assistant, which will be ChatGPT. Now, of course, it will be far more powerful than anything we've seen before. But this will supposedly be the first OpenAI true hardware product with ChatGPT built in natively. And we don't know a huge amount about it, other than that it will be a battery-operated speaker that is designed to be carried from room to room. And I don't know how I feel about that. What do you think?
I was thinking the same thing. Like, I don't know that I would care. I guess they're probably banking on the fact that, one, you're not going to want to carry this from room to room, so you would just buy multiple, and, you know, that's $200 to $300 a pop each time, but that's a lot more money if you find it useful. I don't know. I guess putting one in the kitchen and, you know, living room and bedrooms make the most sense, I guess. But like, what do I need ChatGPT in my bedroom for? And I guess maybe in the kitchen, if you're having some thoughts, you need it to, like, can it integrate with like home stuff? Would it be able to tie in and control, you know, home automations and create home automations that I don't have the ability to do with other assistants? Can it? Yeah, I don't need it to make a timer for me, and I can find other things that can do that. You know, like what's the real use case behind it besides just having the answer to anything that you might want at any time?
So it is going to have a built-in camera, which I suppose is the real point of differentiation between just conventional Bluetooth speakers. So if you were to have it in your bedroom, when you're trying on outfits, you could face the speaker and say, what do you think of this outfit? If you're in the kitchen, you could say, you know, does this look like it's cooked enough? I don't know. You could point
it at every time you ask ChatGPT a question, it tries to agree and make prop you up. So it's never going to be like, no, that looks like dog water. Don't wear that. You know,
I mean, the sycophancy's definitely got better. It definitely still does it to my eye, at least. But I think it has improved a lot. And by the time this device is released, I imagine that will be better still. And I imagine that it will be capable of running some of their most powerful models. I mean, not running it because it's really going to go to the cloud, but I imagine it will get access to that with some priority over what you would get from maybe your account on your smartphone. Maybe it includes some of the paid tiers effectively for free to entice people and to make it feel different to just using the ChatGPT app on the iPhone, because that's really what has got to be different. It can't just be the voice mode from ChatGPT that you can ordinarily get on your phone. It has to be a much more natural interaction and probably a more useful and powerful one. The camera kind of being always on is part of that. But I think that one other thing that they're banking on is it will supposedly have a personality. We've talked about this with Siri, that Apple is kind of in the long term planning to give Siri more of a face and personality, maybe something based on the Finder icon. I think that this is the direction for AI in the long run. And that could be something as simple as animations with lights or some kind of face, or it will have a little motorized rotation or something that makes you feel like it is more present. And I think that is key, really, because otherwise it will just feel like a static Bluetooth speaker. Whereas if it's this little thing that pivots around to look at you and it's got a camera, that starts to feel a little bit more personal and potentially useful.
Hey guys, just want to take a quick minute to let you know more about today's sponsor, Storyblocks. If you've ever watched my YouTube videos for any amount of time, you've probably seen Storyblocks at work without even realizing it. Whether I need B-roll to help explain a feature, some background music that fits the tone of a video, or just sound effects to make edits feel more polished, it's one of those tools that's become part of my regular workflow. And what I really like is that everything in the library is 100% human made. Every video clip, music track, sound effect, template, and image is created by professional artists and filmmakers and not AI generated. Everything is professionally curated, pre-licensed, and ready to use, so I don't have to waste time worrying about licensing or searching through questionable assets. Plus, with unlimited downloads, I can experiment with different ideas until I find what works best, which honestly saves me a ton of time every week. So head on over to storyblocks.com/Mac to access the human-made stock media library that's essential to my workflow. For a limited time, they're offering 15% off any annual plan, and that discount is only available through our link. So again, that's storyblocks.com/Mac, M-A-C, for 15% off annual plans. Thanks, Storyblocks, for sponsoring this episode.
How do you feel about OpenAI as a company having a device in your house that's always listening, always watching you, definitely taking that data and doing what with it? I don't know. You know, I mean, I normally don't care about that kind of things, but like there are very few companies that I kind of have outward trust. I think Apple is one of them. How do you feel about any of these new-ish within the last, you know, decade AI companies getting all of that access?
I don't know. I think it's something that everyone kind of has to decide about for themselves and their level of comfort, because ultimately anything you hand over to these chatbots can be seen and accessed by engineers. It is not private. And, you know, in the early days of this stuff, it was regurgitating other people's information. There's nothing to say that in theory that can't happen again. But I would hope...
Trying clothes on in front of it is a little concerning if it's going to be able to, like, if engineers are going to have access to that. At what point do they have access to that footage, you know? Where does it start? Where does it end?
I would hope that OpenAI will bolster the device's privacy credentials and say that, I don't know, any image information can't be accessed by their engineers and is deleted, or that's only ever processed on device. I mean, there's going to be some kind of on-device processing going on here. It can't just send everything to the cloud, surely. And I think the privacy is the best place for that to happen. But they're still figuring this stuff out. So
yeah,
I'm very interested to see what that actually looks like, because it is so dependent on cloud technology right now.
I'm having a hard time figuring out what exactly I would need it for. I mean, really any of these, like why would this replace, let's just say the new HomePod comes out, either one, Smart Hub, you know, any of those things from Apple with the new Siri, would you want to use something like this over that? Or would you just stay with the Siri-based one because it's more tied into your ecosystem?
I mean, it all comes down to ecosystem advantage. If this OpenAI speaker had support for Apple Music, then that would maybe change things a little bit. Because I do think that while Siri AI has improved considerably, it's nowhere near as good as ChatGPT, not even slightly. And I would have more confidence in ChatGPT being able to find what I want it to. So if it was a level playing field with the ecosystem, I would choose the ChatGPT device. But it's not a level playing field with the ecosystem, so I'll choose the HomePod.
Like, I'm not blind to the fact that obviously Apple's still very, even though Siri is so much better and it's getting there, I understand that Claude and, you know, or Anthropic and OpenAI are very much still ahead. But what for you specifically are you doing that Siri can't do now? I'm just asking, because like I've found that it can do pretty much all the stuff that I use AI chatbots for, not including the like co-working stuff. Like I get that that's a completely different thing, and we're just separating that and just thinking of it as a chatbot.
I mean, we have to remember we're still in the beta testing phase, and it's still early days for Siri AI, so I expect it will get better. So I caveat what I'm about to say with that. But I do find that I have asked it questions, even in recent weeks, about, I don't know, like a plant I had that was dying. So I took a picture of the plant, and I wanted to know what was wrong with it. Siri provided an initial response that was quite useful, but then when I went into the Siri app and continued to ask further questions, it started to get a little bit confused, and I felt like its response was not very thorough, especially when I started to add more pictures. And so then what did I do? I went over to ChatGPT, which handled it effortlessly. And I've had a series of interactions like that where Siri AI is good at basic things. It's good at going to find something from the internet and just serving that response to me. But if I want to actually have a continued conversation, and maybe the question is a little bit more complicated, like I want it to tell me, say in that example, is this plant actually dying, or is it? Does it just need to be pruned a little? That is like a more subjective, opinionated thing. It really struggles with that. So it's happy to tell me initially, oh, I think that this plant is dying, but it won't actually like, here's have a look at some more images and maybe I was wrong about that. And it's like it doesn't unfold the conversation anywhere near as expertly. And I have had that experience actually across several conversations. So my use case for Siri AI is simple kind of one-off requests, the kind of things I used to wish Siri could do on the go, the kind of request I might ask when I'm in my car and it's just a one-off question that I wanted to kind of go and search the web for or use its knowledge for. But any kind of longer exchange, it's not capable of doing as well as these other models, I feel. And that is where ChatGPT still has an edge. And I would still find that useful in the context of a hardware device if it wasn't for that ecosystem advantage. And I don't think it'll have support for Apple Music. It probably will have support for Spotify. So if you're a Spotify user, maybe that's where it will kind of come into its own. But if you're in the Apple ecosystem and use Apple Music, I don't know that this will be a tremendously appealing device.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just wanted to know because, like, I am only, you know, I only know what I've been doing with it. And so it's good to hear how other people are using, you know, AI and where it's helpful for them and where it's not. So that provides a lot of good insight. I think I just kind of use Siri. I still use like Claude or ChatGPT for different things. Yeah, so I find myself doing the same thing, but it's mostly just out of habit. What I use Siri for a lot is when I just really need to, like, get something added to the calendar, get something pulled from my personal, like that's where it's obviously we've been talking about it a lot. It's really good at. So, but yeah, I can see what you mean with all of that. Well, what about a phone? What if OpenAI made a phone? How would you feel about an agentic OpenAI phone? What would they call it? ChatGP phone?
I think it's fascinating. They've got to build a whole ecosystem first. And I kind of wonder whether the smart speaker is going to provide some of the initial look at what that platform could look like, where other services will plug into it. And I know you can integrate Spotify and other stuff with ChatGPT right now, but that's quite limited. It's not the same as a kind of effortless app style integration. And obviously a phone pretty much needs to have its own app store. And I don't think that this will be tremendously popular, at least in its incarnation. No. I just can't
0%.
See it. I don't know how it could offer a camera or a processor or even just software that is anywhere near as good or mature as what we see from Samsung and Apple right now. I mean, realistically, it wouldn't surprise me if this device actually just was an Android device so that they have a platform there to start with. That is not rumored, but I mean, surely they're not going to build their own ecosystem from scratch.
Well, some of the rumors point that they're going to, some of the rumors point that they will be controlling both the operating system and the hardware. Now, I mean, I know you can probably do that a lot easier if you make an Android device. Obviously, you're not going to get an iPhone and be able to control the software there. You can add an app, which is what they already do, but they could lay over their own skin on some sort of Android device and just. But like, who's going to buy that? Who's going to buy an OpenAI phone anyways? But if they make their own operating system, I would say that has the potential to do better than if they just got some manufacturer to make a phone and then they added a skin over it with like the ChatGPT app is like the main center of focus of it.
I completely agree. I think the long-term play has to be to have their own ecosystem and their own platform. Because if they really do want to compete with the iPhone, I think that is the best way to do it. Samsung already does, great Android phones. So does Google. I don't know that we need another player there. And what makes ChatGPT special will be that AI integration. But by the time this device comes out, you know, we'll be onto the second or third iteration of even Siri AI. So I'm fascinated in how this will actually differentiate itself and what kind of features this will have.
I mean, I guess
it will go a lot further than the kinds of things that we expect from Siri AI, sure. But it's still such an open question.
I guess there's like more of an ability to make a name for itself if it became another, because like, think about it. There's Apple, there's Samsung, and there's Google, kind of, here in the US that make phones. OnePlus made a phone and they just pulled out of the European and North America markets. They're not making phones here anymore. So really, when you walk into a store, what other brand can you buy? I honestly can't think of any. LG doesn't make phones anymore. Who else is there? What am I thinking? What am I missing?
There are still some smaller brands like Motorola that are still out
there. Motorola. I think that's it. I don't believe if I was to go into like a Verizon store, you would see anything else besides Motorola, Samsung, and Google. And even then, it is pretty much just Samsung and Apple when it comes to like the top two. But from an Android perspective, there's not a lot. And that's a shame because there used to be a lot of good brands out there that, you know, can offer some different aspects of things. So I think there's an opportunity for OpenAI to kind of slide in there and become something, but it's going to be hard. And I hate to be a pessimist, but I'm like 95% sure it's going to fail like in this specific thing. I just don't see a world where the iPhone isn't the most popular phone in the world, followed closely by Samsung. And by the world, I mean, let's rephrase this. I'm stuck in my US bubble. In the US, it is Apple and Samsung. And they're close, depending on how you do it. I feel like Apple's just more prominent around here, but I just can't imagine there's going to be ever another time in my life where there's, you know, I'm sure it's going to happen, but it's hard to think about. What about you?
I agree. I just hope that whatever this phone ends up being, it's really weird and really different, because that is the only way it's going to sell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it really just goes so far in what it's able to offer, and they are planning things with their models and their integrations that just go in some complete other direction, and the way if the OS can kind of rework itself around what you need at any given time and introduces completely new ways of imagining how apps should even work, and if it actually is better and faster, and it does become, you know, if ordering an Uber really does become as easy as just saying to ChatGPT, order me an Uber right now to this location, and it just does it, and it does it instantly, and it does it reliably, then maybe we are starting to get somewhere. And it would be nice because there has been this dominance of iOS and Android for so long now. I mean, things like Windows Phone feel so far in the past when there were other players. It would be great to see another platform that does something differently. And OpenAI's got a lot of money. I hope that they are able to produce something really interesting. And by all accounts, they are working on this. There is evidence of it in the supply chain. So Ming-Chi Kuo, who provides so much information and insight into what Apple is doing, already sees this in the supply chain. So OpenAI is working out what kind of process it's going to use. It's going to use, apparently, a TSMC 2-nanometer process, which will be very similar to what we get with the next generation iPhones and will stick around for the next 3 generations of iPhone in all likelihood. It's looking at modems, image signal processors, all of this stuff. It's kind of locking down its components. So we're getting there. And also, let's not forget that this phone will probably be designed by Jony Ive. So it probably is going to look quite good really nice as well.
Mm-hmm. It's going to have a good voiceover for the video, I can tell you that.
Yeah. So I'm fascinated. Of course, there is this question hanging over all of this, which is, will this lawsuit actually come to anything? And does that have the capacity to slow down or derail any of these plans? And it certainly could in a variety of ways.
If the lawsuit is at any way tied to this phone, because we don't know what the trade secrets specifically, I'm guessing, but what else would it be for? Do you leave a company and risk it all for HomePod trade secrets? I don't think so, right? So it's got to be...
it's got to be stuff that could help build a device like this. And I mean, I don't know that this is, I agree with you. It needs to be weird. It needs to be unique. Windows Phone was a great reference there because that phone was incredible. I mean, no one used it, but like some people really liked it. I really liked it. I just never pulled the trigger on it. It was just cool. It was different. I just still don't know if there's going to be a world where we live in the next 10 years where it's going to be, you know, not Apple or Samsung. But I mean, if it just didn't like pepper you with a bunch of apps and you can literally just ask it what you need it to do and it does all those things reliably, like you said, I guess that's pretty cool. You're still going to need the brain rot apps. You're still going to need Instagram. And like, you can't automate everything. You can't just be like, feed me. I mean, I guess you can, but what's the point? Like, at some point, people are just going to want to scroll through stuff. They don't need their phone to be like a personal assistant all the time. So it's just going to see how it like blends those worlds, because I feel like a lot of what AI tries to offer is that like, hey, we not only know everything, but we can help you do everything and you don't need to lift a finger. But like sometimes you just want to lift that finger up and down the phone to brain rot and scroll.
I think it could still do that. But the whole point of it, I think, would be that it provides you with the Instagram app before you've actually said that you want to use that, because it knows that's dangerous. That's the kind of thing you do in this moment.
That's dangerous. Sometimes it should. Well, sure. And then sometimes I need it to be like, dude, you've had enough. We're just going to cut you out of this. All right. I'm your AI assistant and I'm worried about your life. That's helpful. That would be great. Yeah,
that's the kind of thing that Claude would say.
OpenAI would be like, whatever you want. ChatGPT would just be so agreeing with everything that you need to say. I don't know that it's gotten better for me. Every time I ask it something, it just can't seem to like find a hard line in the sand of like, this is where you need to be. It kind of just waffles back and forth between my own, two options that I might be presenting.
I do think it's got better at that.
Okay. Maybe I'm just not noticing.
At least in my experience.
So, I mean, I'm looking at all these other like specifications that are rumored. The one thing that stands out the most is that Ming-Chi Kuo argues that the smartphone is, the only device that captures a user's full real-time state, location, activity, communication, and context. This is where like it really makes me concerned about an AI company having all of that power and information. And just like, it is true. Like that is, it knows what I'm doing at all times. So I just really hope that it is actually going to be super useful. But the rest of it just kind of seems like just a normal slab phone. So hopefully Johnny Ive can add his own personal design wizardry in there and make it look cool. Like, what would we even think this would look like? Slab phone, foldable? I'm guessing slab.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Yeah, I think it's got to be a slab phone, but I don't know. I was thinking the other day that what with foldables moving in the direction of this passport-style form factor, this kind of shorter style but wider, I wonder if slab phones are going to go in that direction anyway, and if maybe the next thing is that we realize we don't like phones that are so tall, and actually we would prefer to be able to see kind of post by post in a wider form factor, but something that's smaller and more pocketable. And maybe that would be a good direction.
I mean, we'll see. There's a certain something coming out from a very major manufacturer very soon, like, by the time you are listening to this, you'll know about it. And then, you know, Apple's going to be right down the road with it. So like, I think it's the better style, the better form factor. But I don't know that slab phones will then start to go back in time to fit more of that like shorter, chunkier cover screen style, because that's what you can really only do, obviously. I don't know. I have no idea where phones are going to go. I still don't know about the glasses portion of things. I'm surprised OpenAI isn't doing glasses instead of a phone.
Yeah, glasses would seem like a better place to start, actually, because Apple is competing in that market right now. It's a much less complicated device because you're not worrying about a display. They can just put their voice assistant right on there. It's just a camera, voice assistant, speakers, microphones. Make some phone calls, connect to your phone. It would seem like that would make a lot of sense. I don't know why they're not going for that first. I mean, that is supposedly in the pipeline, but I mean, Meta is just taking that market so quickly right now. Surely that is the place to be grabbing a piece of the pie and build out your ecosystem from there, not with a smart home speaker and then with a phone. If I was doing it, I probably would have started with smart glasses and then earbuds, which are also rumored, but there's a plenty big market for wireless earbuds, and plenty of people don't go straight to AirPods.
And yeah, it's just a much easier market to tap into than a phone.
And a much less complicated device, but one where you could start to offer those interesting capabilities, build off what you're doing with the smart glasses. I mean, that's where Apple is going next. That's what we're expecting. We're expecting these AirPods with cameras that are going to be powered by Siri. And then we're expecting the Apple smart glasses all late next year, which is kind of in the same time period when we are expecting the first OpenAI device. So the speaker, I think, is supposed to launch, will be announced later this year. And it was originally due to release this year, but it's now slipped to next year. So probably the first half of next year, realistically. Mm-hmm. And then the phone, I don't think we're too clear on, but it looks like it could be late 27 to early 28. So it's still quite a while away, but I think that time will pass pretty quickly. I mean, by the time that's out, we'll be on the iPhone 20th anniversary model, which will be the iPhone 20 if you want, but it's kind of the iPhone 19, whatever you want to call it. That's not so far away, really. We already know a huge amount about that device.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that's important for this phone to succeed is obviously the camera. It's going to need to have a good camera, but more importantly, it's going to need to have good processing. And I think it could, but then like I've noticed a lot of the tech focused people that read our website, comment on the YouTube channel, they very much hate AI when it comes to creating things. A lot of negative comments about pretty much every AI feature, like even for example, when we talked about iOS 27 and the photo features, you know, I think Apple does probably like the least amount of like gratuitous, you know, unnecessary AI generative stuff when it comes to the photos. It tries to keep it as like artistic and natural as it can while offering a little bit of help. So like if you need to crop in, but you lost some of the board, it can kind of just nicely and not in a very overt way fill in those gaps. And people are just calling it AI slop. And I'm like, I just don't think that's AI slop. I think that's just like something that's pretty helpful when you're in a pinch. I understand that it's not what it's meant to be, but I don't know. So I wonder if the general population even cares at all. And my feeling is no. I think if that, you know, you could take a really good photo and then AI can tweak it without you even needing, like it just knows the type of image you like, and it can make those changes quickly before you even tap into the Photos app to go and look at those photos again. That could be something cool. That, I mean, a lot of it is software processing with, you know, these cameras these days. The cameras aren't the hard part. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I agree. I think the cameras do play a major role. And even just in terms of capturing images, the iPhone is so good at taking photos. The camera is so impressive. And that is one of the main motivators that people have with their phone. They want to take the best photos they can because chances are you only have one opportunity to take a lot of the pictures that you take in your life, and you want them to be good photos. I mean, we've seen that even with the iPhone, with the problems that the iPhone Air has had, people reluctant to fall back on a slightly inferior camera and to lack those two additional lenses. If there was an opening iPhone that comes out and it's only got one camera and it's not as good as the iPhone, it doesn't matter how good the software is, at least as far as I'm concerned. I need my phone to take great pictures. I think that is another essential part of the picture that we just need to see how that pans out, because that's actually got nothing to do with your AI. That, you might have great AI, but can you take a fantastic picture? And Apple has been honing that for so long now. It is such a refined image pipeline. They're walking into this pretty much blind, and they've got a lot of people from Apple, but I think they've hired something like 400 employees. How many of those are from the camera team? I don't know, but I imagine not very many.
They should have focused on poaching all variety, all sorts of Apple employees. So they can really make the perfect phone. But again, if this lawsuit comes into fruition for Apple and how they want it to go, I don't know that OpenAI will be able to do any kind of hardware if it's true. I think that'll pretty much squash that.
I think it will delay it. I think it's still coming, but it could cost OpenAI quite a lot of money. Apple could seek injunctions potentially at a later date, which could further slow things down. But I also think it's just a psychological thing that there will be reluctance to debut this hardware if there's a lack of confidence around further legal repercussions. But also, OpenAI has been hiring people from Apple so much. If Apple employees start to be a bit scared of moving for legal implications on their own careers and on their own lives, then they are not going to move. The ones that you've already got may be more reluctant to provide information or certain knowledge that they've got. All of this kind of slows things down. And I don't know, I think that they need to move pretty quickly, because although Siri AI is not an industry leader, we have it now. And it will be better next year, and probably even better still the year after. And the gaps are closing between these different services. You can say, oh, Claude's slightly better at this, and ChatGPT does image generation, but maybe Gemini does slightly better image generation. You can draw those lines if you want. On the whole, for an average user, there is not a huge amount of difference between these services now, and Apple is fast catching up. And with its own AI devices on the way, I think that OpenAI have really got to move at speed here to deliver something and kind of beat Apple to the punch a little bit.
I fully agree. Curious what everyone else thinks. So if you have thoughts on all of this, of course, you know what you can do. Comments, podcasts at macrumors.com. Let us know. I remain skeptical. I think ChatGPT is a very good chatbot. It can do a lot. It's only getting better because that was and is their main focus right now. But they also have other things obviously planned. And I don't know that I have the same optimism for those. So we'll see what everybody else thinks. Let us know. And we'll catch everybody in next week's episode.